Hey everyone, welcome back to Seeking Witchcraft. Today I have on Fauna from the Cats, Tea, and Witchcraft podcast. So welcome Fauna to the show. Would you mind introducing yourself to the listeners?
Yes. My name is Fauna, as you've already heard, and I am the host of the Cats, Tea, and Witchcraft podcast. For those who might not be cross-listening between the different podcasts, because I've had Ashley on already, I think it was within the past year. So for those who haven't already cross-listened to us before, I am another witchy podcast. I am Wiccan, but I'm a different type of Wiccan than Ashley. She's Gardnerian, and I define myself as eclectic. I do work with a coven as well, and this tradition has been, or at least our coven has been around for about 20 years, a little over 20 years now. Not me, because that's more than half my life right there, but a little bit of an established eclectic tradition that I've been training with since 2015, though, so almost a good 10 years of my life, so that is a chunk that I've been with them. But yeah, my path, though, just for a little bit of extra details, is I work with a variety of energies, from the elementals to kind of personal energies that I feel like that are around me, or maybe some things if I feel like some family or ancestors might work with. But for the pantheon that I work with outside of the coven is some Nordic deities. So I kind of like very eclectic and stuff, but I do have certain things where my path kind of stays on a certain line, though.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for introducing yourself. And yes, if you haven't already, please check out the episode that I did with Fauna. So would you like to introduce what our topic is going to be about today?
Yes. So today I'm going to talk about creativity in the craft. And it's kind of twofold. There's two different main things that we're going to go over. It's literal crafting as well as just more going outside of the box of what people typically think modernly what magic may be, or just something different than what you're used to. So there's so many avenues of thinking when it comes to being creative.
Yeah, so when Fauna approached me with this topic idea, I was super stoked for it. Full disclosure, I am not a crafty person whatsoever. it's funny, like I remember in school when we would have art projects or different assignments, I distinctly remember having this memory in middle school where we had to create a poster and make it look very aesthetic because the teacher was going to put it up, all of them up on the walls. Mm-hmm. And he looked at mine and he looked at me and he was like, Ashley, I'm not putting that on my wall. And I was like,
oh, that okay, is so thanks. Upfront. Oh my gosh.
But to be honest, like, I don't blame him because I didn't even like it either. I had no idea what I was doing. So, I mean, that said, like, I don't know if I'm just in my head because that had happened. And I also want to backtrack. Like, this was one of my favorite teachers. So, like, I didn't feel that bad when he said it. I honestly laughed it off because I was like, honestly, yeah.
The honesty.
I was like, I don't blame you. Like, this is shit too. So coming into witchcraft where people use the craft as, decorate and you do their spell work, and there is mm-hmm. this level of creativity that comes into it, and there's also this level of like imagination too. It was something that was very hard for me personally, having a very type A personality. Like, I love planning things, I love spreadsheets, like I would be a kick-ass party planner. That's where my creativity is.
That's
in terms
fun.
Of like imagining things, and not to say that witchcraft is imagination, but in terms of like getting into your head and thinking outside the box, that was very, very hard for me. So was super, super stoked when Fauna approached with this topic, because I was like, I cannot wait to hear what you have to say and probably uncover things about myself too that are more creative, as I'll think of as we start talking, that I tend to not think that I'm creative. That's my little rant about that.
I feel like people are more creative than they give themselves credit for. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's a little bit different when it comes to creativity. I'm always like spitting out ideas because I do design professionally full-time, yay corporate world, and various levels. I don't always put 100% of my design skills and everything I put out like on like my Instagram for the podcast and everything, because I'm literally doing it 40 plus hours a week. But within my own personal craft of my own tradition, within my altar, my own office, and my own spells and everything like that, I try to have a level of creativity because I don't always want it stagnant or the same thing every time. It just doesn't feel right for me, at least when it comes to it.
I definitely hear you. And so I guess I don't know, just a question for you. So how, and this is a broad question, so how do you think people like me, for example, who have these difficulties with embracing their creative side, how do you think we can kind of just like move, not move past that, but work to become more creative? And I know it's such a broad question.
I think it comes down to how you word things, because a very common thing that people say when it comes to the craft is you can make it your own and or use your intuition. If you feel like something needs to change or you want to do it differently, you're essentially being creative with it if you're doing something differently than what a recipe says or what a spell book says or what your high priestess or a other coven member told you how to do something. There's always different ways to do something. So that's technically being creative, is just doing something outside of the normal scope of how you have either previously done it or how you were told to do it, even if you haven't done it yet. So creativity can be literally with crafts, but also just doing something different. And I feel like it is a little bit harder for those who are early on, at least those who want to be a little more creative early on within the craft or a form of spirituality and how you do things, because they're so afraid of doing things wrong. And I think once you get over that, it helps a little bit. And then when you learn to trust your gut more and more, and that takes time because it's either trauma response to not, or you trust your gut too much and you're so cautious that you still have that subtle fear or anxiety in general. As someone who lives with anxiety on a daily basis, getting past that can be hard, but telling yourself that it's okay if it's not perfect, and sometimes it ends up being better when it's not.
See, I love that you just explained that, because this is what I was talking about earlier of, I think that I'm not creative, but then when you were speaking about not following things to the T and, for example, making a ritual your own or something, I was just thinking like, man, I do that. I think sometimes it's for myself, for example, like I can be a little critical on if I'm creative or not, but like that's a perfect example. And I'm so happy you said that. That's giving my inner middle schooler some joy. And that's such a great point, because I tell my students all the time too, that let's say like my outer court students, for example, so my non-initiate students, when they are doing certain things, I tell them all the time, like, hey, I'm going to teach you this morning devotional ritual that you could do every morning when you wake up. But here are the words, and here's the script, and here's the hand motions. But I always tell them, like, I want you to take this and use this as a guideline, but make it your own, because this has to be what really speaks to you. And the way it's written, because I had a script and I rewrote it myself when I was an OC, it really, like, the original script was just like so, I don't know, structured and meh. And I had to formulate it for myself. And yeah, I think that's a great point of taking ritual structure and formatting it. And I want to touch on your point too, that I think people, especially people who are first starting out in the craft, are very, very scared. Not scared, but nervous about changing what a book says, like switching out an herb in some sort of spell, or casting circle a different way, or lighting the candles in a certain way, like whatever it is. And I think that that is so important to find how the craft works for you. So I love that you brought that up. I think that's so important.
Yeah, something that I've actually done recently, or at least within the last couple of years, but it's kind of moved on up until the last few weeks from the last ritual that I had. And so a couple of years ago, I was talking to my high priestess, and we were just talking about different things to do, things about what's going on in my life or the people that I love in my life and everything. And it came down to, hey, let's look into for you a road opener oil. I was like, well, I've never worked with one of those before. So she was talking to me a little bit more about them, because that particular type of oil was new to me, and I didn't have some of the ingredients from the more traditional ones that you see online and in books. I was like, well, I don't have tonka bean. Those are already hard to get, and just a bunch of other little things. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to make my own. If it's technically a road opener oil at that point or not, traditionally, it might not be. It's like when people will make their own Florida water versus buying their own Florida water. Like, it is what you make it. So I took the basics of, well, what energies make this oil? And then I found what I did have at the time and found corresponding similar things. So you can be creative too with finding things that work for you or what you have, because you don't always have the time or money or the availability. Like, I couldn't get tonka beans. They're kind of hard to get sometimes. And I didn't have them, nor did I want to search for it. So I found something else to work with that particular energy. So I came up with my own spell and recipe for this oil. Made it, gave it to who needed it. Things turned out great. Okay, cool. That worked out. And then recently made it again, but in a larger batch within a different situation. And so far, it has worked for those who've had it. And that just proves, at least from my case, if you take that risk of going outside of the box or being creative, using your intuition, using what you have, because also with the same thing, being creative, art is creative. It's almost like a folk art. Folk art is like using what you have to make. And it doesn't even have to be traditional paint or anything. Like, people used to make paints out of they do still technically, out of different pigments and just what they had within the earth, the ground, flowers, ground up food, whatever you did, it's technically creative. And doing that with your recipes, your spell work, or just like what you said, you redid that morning ritual, that morning dedication, that it might work better if you change it for you. Because if you don't completely connect with something on an energetic and a personal level, that connection is the important part. And making it catered to you is creative. It all comes down to doing what's good for you.
So let me ask, it was just like a thought that I had, because this is something I've thought about in the past. So using the example of the road opener oil, do you think that, like you were talking about using your intuition to create your own version of it because it was hard to get certain materials for it. Do you think that the person that you may have given the oil to, that it would have had the same effect of you making it and gifting it to them versus them making it themselves?
I think it depends on the situation. It was someone who I was very close to, so their expectation and the energy that I know and permission they give me to for those sort of things within like good intent, it's wide open. Versus someone, at least within my life, people who might not know or not know what these things are might have a different result. And in some cases, it's like the idea of, say, someone doesn't believe in magic or certain things or doesn't believe in prayers either. Some people are like, yeah, you could still do it for them, but it doesn't mean they're willing to take it in. So it's the willingness to accept things sometimes make the difference.
I think part of the reason I ask that, because I'll go to different places, like we have a Botanica near me.
Yeah.
And they have so many aisles of floor washes and spell candles that are already preset and pre-made. And I always think, or I always wonder, for people who use those different items, if, like you said, if they don't really believe in magic, or like if somebody who, whoever made that, where it was manufactured, it's obviously not tailored for the wider population. I mean, maybe it is. But what I'm saying is that it's not tailored for an individual's problem. Like, they don't know the person they're making it for. And I always wonder the effectiveness. Now, that said, I have known people who have used things from the Botanica that are very, very potent and very powerful.
Yeah, exactly. I think it comes down to energy and willingness and also a little bit of luck from the gods or the energies. Because if it's supposed to happen, it's going to happen. If it's not supposed to happen, it's probably not going to happen.
Yeah, I think it's important that if people are going to be buying things from shops or using different items that are supposed to have certain results, I think it's important to kind of infuse your energy somehow into it so that it does become more personalized. And I think sometimes that's lost when people will go to these stores. They just kind of like, okay, well, I'll follow the directions, but they're not actually doing anything else outside of that, you know?
Yeah, and it's, I don't know if it, like, cooking is a good example. Like, there's been times when I've followed a recipe and it just didn't come out right. I followed it to a T and something was missing. It's just something's missing. You could follow something exactly the way and it just still doesn't always come out right.
That's very true. You got to listen to the voice of your ancestors when you're
Yeah, like when adding seasoning, sometimes you're supposed to add more. Sometimes you're supposed to, and sometimes, and I do that with my herbs sometimes. If like something may, like at first I was like, oh, maybe just, I'll just like do two or three scoops because I'm going off of numbers. It's like, oh, go in threes, three scoops of this or sixes or nines or something like that, or stir it three ways this way or three ways that way. Sometimes I'm like, I'm just going to go until I feel like I'm going to stop because otherwise three might not be enough. Maybe for me it's not. It's just until you feel it's right. And sometimes that just helps, and otherwise it's just extra energy and extra fluff and stuff.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Okay, so we are going to take a short break, and then we'll be right back in a moment.
Hey, y'all. As some of you may have seen from my Instagram, I've been on a health kick lately and trying to live a healthier lifestyle. On my journey, I found my new favorite meal prep, which is Factor. Factor has pre-portioned, ready-to-go meals in just 2 minutes flat. With over 35 rotating options each week, including Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto, there's something great for every diet. Factor has breakfast, lunch, dinner, and everything in between. It's a great solution if you're looking for restaurant quality, but fast and premium options that don't require any cooking or subsequent cleanup. It's also less expensive than takeout and is dietitian approved. Plus, with over 60 add-ons for your meals, you'll stay fueled up and ready to cast spells all day long. I've been really loving my Factor meals, and I cannot recommend them enough. So if you are looking for something fast, convenient, but healthy, don't wait and start conjuring up your goals with Factor. You can head to factormeals.com/witchcraft50 and use code witchcraft50 to get 50% off. That's code witchcraft50 at factormeals.com/witchcraft50 to get 50% off. Have you ever experienced those period-fueled days where you just feel like crawling out of your own skin, eating your entire fridge, and wondering why your skincare routine doesn't seem to work the way it usually does every other week of the month? Well, I've recently tried Estro Control, which is a formula developed by Happy Mammoth. This supplement harnesses the power of science-backed herbal extracts to support hormonal harmony, especially for those who experience PMS. Estro Control helps to ease PMS by supporting the liver, which is where our hormones, especially estrogen, are processed. When estrogen isn't processed well by the liver, this can contribute to PMS. So Estro Control was created to help those who experience PMS just feel like themselves again. Estro Control was also made specifically for those who are premenopausal, meaning it's perfect for those who are not yet near or even really thinking about menopause. However, it is also great for perimenopause. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com/Ashley and just use code A-S-H-L-E-Y at checkout.
Okay, welcome back. So one of the things you had talked about was literal crafting.
Sure. So okay.
Do you want to speak a little more about that?
The first 15 minutes we just talked about, like, more just being a little creative and stepping outside of the box. So when it comes to being creative, it could be crafting, as in with like doodling, drawing, art supplies, more traditional art with like painting and drawing and in a different level, or from sewing things, thread magic, or creating your own candles, or just creating your own things. And we also goes back to, like we just mentioned before the break, how when you purchase things at Botanicas, adding something of yourself to it, changing something up, if it's physically or energetically. But for crafting, there's a lot of cool things that you could do with little crafting with your magical craft. So crafting on crafting. And for some people, they will draw, and what they draw almost becomes like a form of divination, or if it's like automatic writing or through their dreams and they write things down, creating your own tarot card set or your own oracle cards, even if it's just for you and you don't sell them. I create my own altarpieces. Some of my altarpieces, I'll do some wood burning on plaques, and then I'll use those as my main decorations for the main deities that I work with. I have three main ones that I work with. And so different things like that. And for me, creating some of my tools that I feel like I should put more of my energy into physically, I end up liking them more. And I am someone also that could probably be described as type A, because there are certain things, like if you bend the corner of a book, I will flip a lid. I will flip my lid if the corner of a paperback book is bent. But slowly through my craft, I think my craft itself has helped me let go of that a little bit through healing from traumas and anxiety and other things, that things aren't going to be perfect. Not everything's going to be within our control. And between just general healing and the energies supporting me to let me know it's okay, or helping guide me and be like, no, it's supposed to be this way. But I've actually been crocheting a lot, and I know some people will. I have a friend who like makes her own yarn, I think, and she has looms, and you can put your own energy into tools or things that you're making. And as you're, say you're making your own thread, or even if you're just buying pre-owned store-bought thread and you're crocheting or knitting or sewing, take some time with those tools. I'm sorry, you might be able to hear my cat essentially trying to climb the walls in the other room. If anyone can hear that in the background, she is trying to climb the walls. And but yeah, if you like, even if it's pre-bought tools, putting your energy or anointing them or adding herbs to things and letting them stew with that energy is creative. If you want to maybe make your own, say, robe, if you want to like sew your own robe, spend some time with those tools that you're making this with. Maybe cleanse them. You could use Florida water. You can use sage, smoke cleanse of any sort. You could just, if you do energy healing, like sometimes I'll like do some Reiki time with some of my tools. So preparing your tools, and then with the intent of using them to create something. I'm just looking at something right now, and it's someone made a pair of gloves for the winter. Maybe make a chant that you tell yourself or say while you're sewing things or you're crocheting, or maybe bless your needles that you're using, that with whatever these needles use to make, that protection goes into everything that it touches or that it makes or anything of the sort. And it doesn't need to be complicated. This is also really good, I feel like, if you're teaching children certain things, especially if you are a magical or a pagan family that wants to do some of these things, have them being creative with what they make, because kids are so creative and they don't even realize it. So there's a lot of things you can do, like literally and figuratively with this.
Oh my gosh, yes. I know so many witches that
I've been on a crochet kick the last couple months.
And I know a lot of witches mm-hmm. who also do not magic too, when they're yep. using or doing these types of crafts. And if you're not sure what not magic is, the short version of it is that you are essentially saying this spell, and with each knot that you pull, mm-hmm. you are putting the magic into it. If you Google not magic, K-N-O-T. Yeah,
sometimes
not,
people call it knot or thread or different types, but it's essentially the same thing. Yeah. They're just using it in different ways than just tying a string and some knots, or something that would be essentially on like a ship. Like put it into like a blanket you're making, or a bow you're making for a bouquet for a wedding, like extra love in that bouquet. Put a little spell on it. Go ahead. Especially if it's your own or someone that you yeah. love or something.
Exactly. I was also going to say, you made me think of when you were talking about different tools that you could use. I was actually thinking of people who are under the radar or kind of mm-hmm. just still in the broom closet about their practice, and getting mm-hmm. creative with the type of tools that you use in your practice is a really good way to hide it if you were in a situation where you mm-hmm. cannot be out with your practice for whatever reason. One of the examples that came to mind, it might sound kind of silly, but it will work, is for a wand, if you don't want to have a stick from outside, you could use a chopstick.
Just yeah.
Plain old
I've used chopsticks to stir things.
And there's your wand.
Two in one, yeah.
There you go. Just little things like that. And that's something that you could just kind of have, you know, in your room. And let's say you live with your parents or something, and be like, we got sushi the other day, mm-hmm. or Chinese or Japanese.
Yeah, no one's going to question a set of chopsticks.
I want to practice using them.
Maybe they're like, well, why is it not in the kitchen? Yeah, but like, yeah. If it's like a special set you purchase from something, you're like, well, I just really like it. I wanted to collect them. People aren't probably going to question collecting chopsticks versus collecting big ass crystals.
That's very true. And I'll tell you, I have a collection of chopsticks in my kitchen. Yeah. I love using chopsticks.
Yeah, we have a lot of it. We go through a lot of rice. And for those who are looking for chopsticks, World Market has some good sets. Here we
are. Oh, I love World Market. Gosh. Anyway, yeah, that was just one thing that came to mind about mm-hmm. things that people can use, especially if they're yep. under the radar with their practice. Getting creative with the types of tools that you can use, it's definitely a good way to mm-hmm. hide what you're yeah. doing. All right. So in the last few minutes of this episode, Fauna, let me ask, do you have any specific rituals or exercises or anything that listeners could do to
tap into their creative side? I think it would be a combination of testing your intuition and your gut. And I feel like this could take a while or it could be quick, and maybe just journaling and just journaling things that are off the top of your head. Maybe give yourself a prompt and do kind of those word games and like association things. You're like, well, if you did this, what would be this? What would be this? What would be this? If you don't have this, what would you use instead? So just forcing yourself to think of alternatives may be a way to push yourself out of the boundary and be like, well, if you don't have a wand and you don't just want to use your hand to direct energy, what else would you feel comfortable to do that? Just literally ask yourself questions, almost like just a form of shadow work, and just giving yourself a little mini test. And over time, or if you're someone who is already like testing your intuition with like dream magic, or like you're writing down your dreams or writing your own rituals, look up different things and then combine them and see how it flows. Even if you're taking multiple things from different books, and if it's not off the top of your head, because sometimes like writing can be super hard. Some people aren't great at writing. So you take pieces and then you change a couple words here, or you change the deities that it's for, or the element that it might be depending on the type of energy you're working for. But the structure could work. And that's how I do a lot of like ritual work, is that I will take whatever base and adjust it for the season, the sabbat, the type of spell, the type of moon, who it's with, how large the group is, because that can all change depending on what your necessities are. So I'd say ultimately journaling, maybe some meditation and some shadow work.
I have, this might sound kind of funny, I have a funny suggestion for developing your intuition. And it's something that I think people do quite often. Not the act of what I'm going to say, but this is something I've started doing the last couple of years, and it's always fun to see how it comes up. But if you ever have to reset your password, or if you ever have to type in a verification code or something, and you have to get a text of a code number mm-hmm. or a text of a number sent to your phone, in the 5 or so seconds where I'm waiting for the number to come in, I will sit there and I'll be like, okay, I think the first couple of numbers are going to be like 357. Or something. And let me tell you, there was one time, it was like out of 6 numbers, I got like the first 4 correct, and I was like flipping out. I was like, oh my God.
You should be playing the lottery.
Oh, yeah. You know, if any of my friends are listening to this, they're going to laugh at that, because I'm also the type of person who
wins. Oh my gosh. That's, I wouldn't have thought, that's cool. I need to do that just to see.
And it's so simple. And it's like one of those random things.
I do that at stoplights when I think it's going to change. But not watching the other ones. Like I'm not good at like knowing the times. I don't like time them in different times of day or whatever freaking triggers them. But like sometimes I'll be like, I think it's going to be now, or like within so many seconds or something. Because I'm not always leaving the house at the same time in the morning within 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes. And that can completely change the cycle. So like I've caught myself doing that more actually in the last month or two. And I feel like I've gotten a lot better.
You know, it was funny. I was having like a really bad day earlier this week, and I really mm-hmm. didn't want to go to the gym, but I forced myself to go. And I don't know, this was one of those things that mm-hmm. it only really made sense in my head. So when I say it out loud, I'm probably going to sound crazy, but here we are. And I got in the car and I was like, you know, I just feel like I'm having a bad day, and like, I just need something good to happen. Like, I just need like a sign that it's going to be okay. And tell me why, on like my short drive to the gym, I got a green light the entire way, which has never, ever, ever
it's
happened
usually always
to me.
Red.
Like, I always usually get at least one light. Yeah. Well, sometimes like it's so weird, because the lights on my house, like I take this route all the time. So I know, like, if I get a green here, yeah. I'm probably going to get a red here. Yeah. If I get a red here, I'm probably going to get a green here. It has never happened to me that every single time I got a green light the entire way through. And I was there like in my car thinking to myself, okay, well.
Yeah. Cause that's a
weird,
different pattern.
But I'm going to take it. I was like, I'm going to just take it as a win, cause I didn't have to sit in
a didn't have to worry about all those buses. I got caught between like 3 of them in the last couple of days. I'm like, are you kidding me? Oh my gosh.
Oh, no. Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, Fada, thank you so much for coming on. Do you have any final things you wanted to say about this topic?
Besides just saying that it's okay to do things differently. For those who are newer, you might not necessarily want to force it immediately while you're still learning. But learning to trust your gut is one thing. But once you kind of feel like you've strengthened that, it is okay to do things differently. If you're out of a certain herb, do the research. And it sometimes only takes a couple minutes if you don't have the books. The internet's really good with it. If you just like, say, rosemary, especially if it's like common household herbs, say you don't have chamomile, but what else would take replacement? For me, I would go straight to lavender if you have it. Like, not everyone has lavender unless for very specific reasons. But if you have something, like if you want a chamomile for calming, lavender is also a really good one for that. Or if you're looking for something to speed something up, I am really keen on using cinnamon. That's what I use cinnamon for, is for like boosting things. So there's always alternatives to everything you can do. And that is being creative. And if you want to craft, it doesn't have to be perfect. Whatever you make, your energy is going into it. Even if it's not your favorite thing in the world, it's still yours. So, yeah.
Very sound. I will follow up, and I do want to add one thing just because I've said this on a previous episode. If you are going to sub out an herb, make sure you are subbing out an herb that is similar to the property, like how you mentioned, instead of rosemary, maybe using like lavender or chamomile. There's this thing that goes around the internet saying like you can use rosemary as a substitute for any single herb. But then I did an episode where we essentially talked about how it doesn't work. And if you think about it, like cooking, if you really need, let's say, you really need chili powder for a recipe, but you don't have chili powder. So you're like, well, you know, rosemary.
Yeah, that's it.
Like,
yeah, exactly. Not quite. They need to have certain similarities if you have them.
Exactly. But things like cayenne pepper, probably going to be one of the closest things you can get
to chili. It's not quite like using a white
candle. It's
going to
be a little bit
spicier. A candle's a candle versus whatever the color is. If you want to go off of color theory, that's fine. Or the associations, that's fine. But if you're just looking for a candle is a candle. And then you can just do other things to get wet, like carving things into it or something else. But yeah, but for herbs, yeah, you still want to have some similarities. But like my example with the chamomile versus the lavender, those are ones that people may use for calming purposes, but I wouldn't suggest something like chamomile and then like, I don't even know if this is a proper example, like butterfly pea tea or something that would be super caffeinated. Like it would be the complete opposite. Something caffeinated, even if it's not you drinking it, may actually have energy versus something that you're looking for that's calming.
Exactly.
Yep.
Couldn't said it better myself. All right. So before we go, you kind of did this, but I'm going to ask you anyway. If you can give one piece of advice to beginner, it doesn't have to be about this topic, but it can if you would like for it to be, what would you say?
I would say that writing and doing something little every day. If you're worried about the amount of time that you have, it doesn't have to be like an extensive amount of time. It could just be one paragraph to read, one paragraph to write, just meditating or thinking about what your next step is while you're driving. Don't get distracted, but like still thinking about things is still a good way to prepare yourself for your craft, even if you're not doing it all the time. I wouldn't say you can go as long as you want without doing things. But just if you want to do these things, it's okay to do little bits at a time. You don't have to do like hours of dedication a day. And I feel like people have unrealistic expectations. So yeah, just be kind to yourself and you'll eventually become a little more creative even if you didn't feel like you were. And you might be more than you realized.
Love that. And I just kind of relate to that myself now at the end of this episode.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much,
Fauna,
for coming on.
You guys can find me on my podcast, which is Cat's Tea and Witchcraft Podcast. For Instagram at Cat's Tea and Witchcraft, and you can send me an email at Cat's Tea and Witchcraft Podcast at gmail.com. Don't forget the podcast part. So
Awesome. And I will have all of that linked in the bio. And if anybody is interested in getting in contact with me, you can find me on Facebook at Seeking Witchcraft Podcast, on Instagram at Seeking Witchcraft, X at Seek Witchcraft, which truthfully I don't really use that anymore, but it's still there. I also have a personal Instagram if anybody's interested. I opened that up a little bit earlier this year called Spells and Kettlebells. It's mostly like gym content. So heads up if you're interested in that. We have a Facebook group called Witches Seeking Witchcraft. And if you would like to support the show, you could do so on Patreon at patreon.com/seekingwitchcraft. All right. Well, thank you all so much for listening. Thank you again so much, Fauna, for having such an enlightening topic to talk about. I definitely feel a little better about my own personal creativity after listening to you speak. So I definitely benefited from this myself. And I was so happy that you came on to talk about this topic.
Bye.
Alrighty. Bye, everyone.